Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal, PayMe link, or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
You know, right now, if somebody asked you, do you know Apostle Munama, almost all of you will say, yes, I know him. He's my pastor. Is that correct? Is that correct? But circumstances usually will expose if you really know Apostle Munama or not. If you hear things about me out there, they will expose whether you know me or not. If people start talking about me, how bad I am. If you don't know me, you will quickly agree with them or be shaken or begin to ask questions. But if you really know me, you will really swear that it's not him because you know me. Am I talking to somebody here? There are things when you know somebody, you know he's not only about him, but you know his character as well. If you don't know somebody's character and his nature, you don't know the person. Look at your neighbor. If you don't know his nature, you don't know his character, you don't know him. You must get to a point where you say that it is not in, definitely it's not him. You say why? It is out of character. Can I go preach somewhere else? I'm starting right at the end of my sermon. Some of you, we believe the devil because He says things that are questioning the character of God and we agree with him. What causes us to doubt is because we don't know his character. If you know that it is not in his character, when he said he will do it, he will do it, you will never have a doubt in your life. We know God, but when things don't happen and the enemy begins to talk to you, you start doubting. Why? Because you don't know it is out of God's character. You know, even when you are sleeping, that God will never allow it to happen. You just know. You just know that he will never leave me alone. It is not his character. It is not his character. You know, when you look at Psalms 23, I don't know if you had a time to really think about what was going through David's mind. When he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, God is what? Is his rod and his staff, isn't it? Isn't it? But I don't know if you thought about it. He is not talking about literally holding a stick and balancing himself. No. You know, David, because he knows God, he's able to appreciate the things that other people would not appreciate, that is God's involvement, even in the most difficult circumstances. Oh. He is almost dying. Do you even know what is the value of death? But even in that situation, he could still see the hand of the Lord at play. Because he knows the character of God. He knows that I survived where people die because it is nature, it's the nature of the one I serve. Not to let my foot slip. It is the nature of the God that I serve. Who will hold me tight. It is nature. What brings about discouragement and this frustration is nothing but questioning the character of the one we serve. Didn't I say it? Will I not do it? Didn't I say I will be with you to the end? Didn't I say that? I'm challenging you because things are going to get even tougher in the days that are coming. And the question that will be asked, do you really know your God? Or you know about your God? Do you have a mental understanding of Scripture, or do you have them printed in your heart? In other words, do you just understand them and hold an opinion, or they actually shape your behavior and your conduct? Are you able to go the opposite direction from where your mind wants to go simply because you are driven by what is written and not by what you understand? Do you have this split personality? Do you have this situation where your mind is pushing you one direction, but your heart says, I know God. I know my God, and I will stay in this place. I know that he who has promised, he will come through for me. When my body speaks something else, my heart says, I know my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer. I will stay in this place because I know that he will come through for me. When nothing else makes sense anymore, do you know your God? At times, that will be the only thing that sustains you, the knowledge of who he is, his character, his nature. How deep are you? How far have you gone? How close have you come? That's the question I'm asking you today. How far are you from God? You see, many of us are comfortable with the experiences that our pastors and our leaders have of God, but we never want to have our own. And some of us, we have made it look like it is just for the elite few. that this God could be accessed and be known. No. As you'll see in the scriptures today, God can be known by anyone and everyone. Let's give God a hand of praise. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. And I want to see in this book the design of God to get us closer to Him as much as He can. Overcoming all the obstacles that existed since the fall of Adam. God came with a plan. And today we are sitting here in this generation as a people who must see the culmination of that plan. We must see it in our midst. We must see it in our lives. The perfect plan of God. Read from verse 1.
We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of the heavens.
Now, right there, I want all of you to stand on your feet and clap hands for Jesus. Just stand on our feet and just thank God and just clap hands for Jesus. You know why? You know why? Men in this world, they get standing ovations for things they do which have got, which are nothing compared to what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. For him to attain that position of high priesthood, what he had to go through, you better give him a hand of praise. Oh yes, oh yes. He deserves a standing ovation. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on. He does, he does, he does. Oh yes, he does. He does. Come on, come on, come on, come on. He does. He deserves a standing ovation more than any man. To be seated where he is sitting, on the right-hand side of God. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Jesus, you may be seated. Some scriptures, you just have to stop and just appreciate. Continue reading.
A minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected, and not a man.
Now listen. There is a tabernacle in heaven. There is a tabernacle in heaven. Now, you don't hear me. There's a tabernacle in heaven. God made this with his own hands, not the hands of man. Hallelujah. There's a tabernacle where? I cannot hear you. There's a tabernacle where? Continue reading.
For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer.
Continue.
For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed.
Now, you see, this, what we saw here on earth, was a copy of the divine and heavenly thing. It was what? A copy. And when you look at the tabernacle, it's God's way, it's an access to God's presence. It's a way of accessing God, knowing God, and having a relationship with God. I don't know if you're hearing me. Now, that tabernacle in heaven existed even before Moses' tabernacle. Are you hearing me? For God said, continue reading. Listen to what he told Moses.
For God said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.
So Moses had a glance at this original tabernacle. He was shown the things of heaven on the mountain. He saw this tabernacle. And God said to him, I want you to build a similar thing here on earth. It's not perfect, but for time being, before the culmination of the plan of God, because the high priest had not come, so he may be able to serve as high priest in that tabernacle in heaven. There was no high priest. The tabernacle was ready. And it has always been ready. But no one could serve there unless that very person had shed his own blood and entered the very tabernacle with his own blood. I don't know if you are hearing me. And God said, let me have this caretaker, something to be looking after them whilst we are waiting for the real thing. Whilst we are waiting for the Messiah to come and die, let us have this copy and have ministers, men, mere men, to minister there. Continue reading.
Verse 6. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better...
He has obtained what?
He has obtained a more excellent ministry.
Now, if it was a man, we are talking about things they have obtained and achieved, we'll be standing on our feet and clapping hands for them. And I see you are still sitting right now. He has obtained even a better ministry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. In this world, when people read achievements, you see people standing and clapping hands for them. In this world, but the one who has obtained better things, he does not get that ovation. And no one has gone through what he has gone through to get where he is. No one. If there's anybody who deserves a standing ovation, it's my Lord Jesus. It's my Lord Jesus. It's my Lord Jesus. We can clap for him the whole day if we want. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Continue reading. What did he obtain for us?
He has obtained a more excellent ministry.
Uh-huh.
Inasmuch as
a more excellent ministry, yeah?
Inasmuch as he is a mediator of better covenant,
uh-huh,
which was established on better promises, a new covenant.
Continue reading.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel."
Oh, yes. Say, oh, yes. Say, oh, yes. Behold, the days are coming. Hallelujah. And indeed, the days have come. Say, indeed, the days have come. Continue reading.
I will make a new covenant, uh-huh, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God.
After those days, what will I do? I'll put it in their mind and I will write them in their hearts. Are you hearing me? I will write them in their hearts. You see, the problem with the old covenant is that this were just in their minds. They were being read. Scriptures were being read every day. They were in their minds, but they will still disobey God. Hello? They will go against what is in their minds, because there was nothing in their hearts. What drives you is what is in your heart, not what is in your head. We make decisions based on what is in our heart. That I will write my words in their hearts. And we are living in that generation that is written in the heart. Look at your neighbor. You are those days they are talking about. You are what? You are what? Yes. When these things now, these words of God are being written in our hearts, these truths of the word of God, we don't just appreciate them, but they are actually embedded in the very essence of who we are. He's talking about the days where the word of God cannot be separated from you. Today, we have many people who claim to know God, but as you know, the evidence is not there because there is no fruit. There's nothing to show for what they are saying. Are you still here? Only those whose word is written in their hearts can begin to claim that they know God. Continue reading.
I will be their God,
uh-huh,
and they shall be my people.
Yes.
None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," for all shall know me.
Now, I want you to underline that portion of scripture, because that's where my teaching is. All shall know God. No one will teach another. Isn't it interesting? No one shall teach his neighbor. Now, in the Old Testament, God was only known by a few people. Only few people had access to God. The priests, the prophets, some kings, and all that. But ordinary people did not have access to God. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Somebody likes the knowledge of God as it increases with time, like the sun that is rising, that at dawn, only the highest summits will have sun rays. But as the sun rises, it will begin to go to even the lower summits. Will appreciate the sun. But at noon, every place is saturated with the sunlight. In other words, we are living at a time where the knowledge of God is everywhere. If anyone can access the presence and the knowledge of God today, it's no longer a privilege for the few. It's no longer for those who can speak Hebrew or Greek, English, or any other language. No. It's not for those that can pray the longest. No. It's not for those who can quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. No. It's for everyone. Is it for adults? No. Is it for children? No. It's for everyone. Is it for the rich? No. Is it for the poor? No. It's for everyone. This way is now open to everyone. God can be accessed. It does not matter where you were born. It does not matter whether your mother is a Sangoma or whatever. No. Anyone can access the knowledge of God. It's no longer a privilege for the few. In this time where we're living in, there's no excuse to be ignorant about God. But it's only a few that want to pay the price, and they really are determined that we'll find him. But the way is open for everyone. This knowledge, God wants it for everyone. Continue reading.
For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them.
Clap your hands for Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 All shall know him. Can the kids know God? Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Can old people know God? Yes, of course. Can poor people know God? Can rich people know God? All. But as things are now, do everybody know God? No. If you push me for statistics, if you really push me, I'll tell you, even here, only 20% of you sitting here know God. You can be unhappy with me. I didn't say you are in the 20% or in the 80%. I don't understand why you are sad. I really don't understand why you are sad with me. I didn't say which which percentage you belong to? I'm saying 20% right now sitting here actually know God. If you don't believe me, let's meet you tomorrow at your workplace, tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, not just this tomorrow, it's Monday. Yeah, let's meet you there. Or in your neighborhood this afternoon. Let's meet there. I'll show you what I mean. Are you in the house of God?
Yes.
I'll show you what I mean. Let's not lie to ourselves that we know God. But when everything about us says we know nothing about God. Let's not lie to ourselves. Now I'm going to preach to you. Honestly. I'm going to teach you. I feel so good after I told you the truth. You, I feel so good. I don't know how that truth makes you feel, but you know what? I feel so good. Oh, you come not. After telling you the truth, you come not. It's like I've been given sweets. Yeah, the feeling I have after telling you the truth. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Let's clap hands for Jesus Christ. Sure. Continue reading.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
Hallelujah. 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 Let me put it like this to you. What you see in the Old Testament speaks of Jesus. When you see the tabernacle and the ministry of the priests going into the tabernacle with gifts, with blood of animals and so on, that was speaking of Jesus Christ. Say it was speaking of Jesus Christ. All that you have seen there, all that has been achieved in our Lord Jesus Christ. Say it has been achieved in our Lord Jesus Christ. It has been achieved where? I cannot hear you. I cannot hear you. In Christ, we see the fulfillment of all that tabernacle worship that we have seen. Hallelujah. It's in Christ Jesus Christ. That was a way through him that was opened to be able to access God and know him and understand him. When you look at the most holy place, you are speaking about the presence of God. Are you here? You're talking about what? The presence of God, and only the priests could access that place, the high priest. And even then, once a year, almost. Are you hearing me? Am I speaking to somebody here? Read John 16, verse 33 there.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Now hold it there. Read Hebrews 10, verse 20.
By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us.
No, by a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us.
Through the veil.
Through the veil,
His flesh.
Yes. Now, you must understand that when Jesus Christ gave up his ghost, or when he died, we know that the veil in the tabernacle tore. Are you hearing me? Now, if you really don't believe the Bible, this is one of the moments you have to believe, really, that as Jesus Christ dies, a veil in the temple gets torn like that. Are you here? Speaking of the divine or the supernatural meeting the natural, the divine meeting the natural. Are you here? Where the tabernacle of heaven meets the tabernacle on earth. The culmination of what we have just seen as shadows, now it has become real. At the moment when Jesus Christ died, we have entered a new way. Are you hearing me? A new what? A new way. A new and a living way, it was opened for us through Jesus Christ. Which way is this? It's the way to God. It's the way to knowing God. It's the way to understanding God. It's no longer a privilege of the few. No. It's no longer for those who could go to Bible school and know theology and anybody can. Through Christ, he opened that way. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Continue reading.
And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Now listen to me. The Bible tells us that we can now approach this throne of grace. Hallelujah. We can do what? We can all come, regardless of your color, regardless of your education, regardless of whatever. You can all come. Look at your neighbor. You can all come. You can speak to God. Anyone can. I know some of us make it sound like it's just for a few. No, anyone can speak to God. When I say I've spoken to God, people begin to say, "Ooh, this person can speak to God." Ooh. You can speak to God. Look at your neighbor. You can speak to God. There's a way that is open. Amen. It's open where? It's through Christ. Through his body, we can enter. Just as the priest would go through the curtain, we can go through Christ. Because his body was when he died, it's like his body was broken and we could go through him. Hallelujah. Suddenly, we are in the Holy of Holies. Kanjani, wena, kanjani. Jesus. Wakena byang, ka Jesus. Hallelujah. There are many things that would disqualify us from the presence of God. But you see, in Jesus, they don't matter anymore. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. Why many people still do not meet God in the holy place? Why? And the answer is simple. And I thank God for the shadows and the imagery of the Old Testament, because it explains things for us. You see, the New Testament, people think the New Testament is easy. It's not easy. It's not easy. Amen? That's why we've been given pictures in the Old Testament, so that we can have a clue of the things that are happening here. You see, in the old tabernacle, people would have to go through the gates, and they would then present their sacrifices. Hallelujah. In the outer court, say outer court, where there were burnt offerings, where the sin offerings, hallelujah. Whatever people have done, the animals will be burned in that place. Are you with me? And it was a very busy place because people were busy with sins. Animals were dying. You could slaughter today and you are back again tomorrow with another animal. Or morning and afternoon. It was a busy place. Are you hearing me? And God has given us this picture so that you can understand how the spiritual tabernacle works. Are you hearing me? That Christ, through Christ, all the sacrifices have been paid. Even the sin offering has been paid. Are you hearing me? That burnt offering has been paid. So what is there for us then? Why is it so difficult? All we need to do we have to have the will to give up our life that is carnal. And you can. You see, the difference between us and the Old Testament is that even if they wanted to live a pure life, it was almost impossible. Why? Because there was something called the nature of sin which lived in them. You know, the nature of sin is something that will drive you to sin even if you don't want to. You can say no, the sin will drag you to a place where you don't want to go because the power of sin was just too much. But here's the good thing, that in the new covenant, we sin because we want to sin. Oh yes, we sin because we choose to sin. We can say no. We can say no, but if we love the pleasures of this world, we are going to sin. It's a decision you make. Look at them, say that you decide that I'm stopping this kind of life. And it will be stoppable. Oh, yes. You find a Christian, men, children of God, help me, pray with me. I'm struggling with it. Struggling with what? Are you saying that Christ died for nothing? What was nailed there was that thing you are struggling with. That driving force. That is why we say self-righteousness is like a filthy rag. Because in no time, we're now orinkilukile, you're going to surprise everyone. You'll do something shocking. Why? Because sin does not joke. When it comes at you, it comes like I don't know what. You'll find yourself doing something that you never thought in your wildest imagination you would do. That's why you need Jesus. That's why you need to identify with what the cross stands for. On that cross lies that nature and that force that drives people to sin. It's there on the cross. It's nailed with him. But many They live like they're at the mercy of sin, you know. Are you born again? If you're born again, you have got power over sin. I say you have got power over sin. You cannot be overpowered by sin. You live in sin because you choose to. Bona, if you live in sin, let me give you this picture. You see, in the wilderness, there was the camp, and then there was the tabernacle. Are you listening to me? There were a lot of people in the camp. If you live in sin, you are not even in the tabernacle, you are in the camp. You're very far from the Holy of Holies. I wonder if you are in the outer court. You see, the tabernacle had, I'm just going through this quickly, hoping you understand these things. The tabernacle had three parts. It had the outer court, the inner court, and the most inner court. The outer court, and then it had the holy place and the most holy place. Remember that? And then there was this a demarcation around, a fence, if you like. And then there was the camp. Millions of people were there. You see, these are Israelites. They are like children of God. They are like you and me. Okay? Understand? There are those who could only be in the camp. There are those who could go, like priests, who could go onto the inner place. And then high priest in the most holy place. Hallelujah. Are you with me here? Now here's the thing. It's a choice you make. If you live in the camp, forget about knowing God. God does not want to know sinners except to forgive them their sins when they repent. Knowing God and his nature and having a relationship with him, you forget it if you live in sin. You can pray as much as, I want to know you, God. You are in the camp. You are far. You don't like my preaching. You don't like it. I've been praying for God to reveal himself. Where? In the camp. Ask your neighbor, where? In the camp. He has made a way for you to come to him through Christ. Identify with victory over sin. He says, I have overcome the world for you. I've overcome every obstacle for you. There's nothing that you can say no to that he will say will force you to continue to do it. Nothing. He says, I have overcome it for you. Jesus Christ has overcome sin for you. He has overcome sin for you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are struggling in sin from today, I want you to be able to stand and say, you sin, I know Jesus Christ have conquered you. You have got no power over my life. I won't do what you want me to do. I will obey God. Hallelujah. Are you still here? We can say no to these things. We can say no to what the flesh wants. We can deny it. Some of us, whatever the flesh wants, we are going this way. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you hearing this? Hallelujah. We've got a lot of people calling themselves Christians that live a sinful life. And then they claim they walk in revelation. Oh, that's the devil talking to them. It's not my God. The God that I know is holy. He that comes to me must be holy. That's the God that I know. You are speaking in tongues and you live in sin. What tongues are those? Told you I'm going to preach, and then I'll go home. After this. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There was a time when I was battling with sin, and I had to repent, and I said, God, I need to do something. Hallelujah. For the Spirit of God spoke to me. And even those times, I can tell you, every time I felt like speaking in tongues, I'll be ashamed. I would not speak in tongues. I would not. I'll be ashamed. I don't know how Christians continue to speak in tongues, yet they live in sin. Are you not ashamed? Are you not ashamed? Are you not kandarabashanda marakamu ujadibi? It's like you could just vanish, ne? I'm telling you, those days when I was struggling, and I would even ask myself, is this tongue really from God? Considering where I am right now. But some of us are so we want even to prophesy to others. Don't worry, maybe this message was for somebody who didn't come to church, ne? It's not for you. I really apologize for that. So tamu familiarize. Do you love Jesus Christ? In the outer court, that's where sins are sacrificed. I mean, sacrifices are made. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we must offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Romans 12. We must offer them as what? Listen. This thing becomes, you know, every time, hallelujah, every time we say no to sin, you know what we have done? We've just sacrificed something. And that becomes like a sweet aroma that arises into heavens. Every time you say no to sin, there's some sweet odor that goes into heaven. It goes before the presence of God. That my son, right there, qualifying, has just said no to sin. That is the sacrifice we are talking about. You don't have to go kill anything. Jesus Christ has done that for you. All you need to do is just to say no, and my no is no. It's not a suggestion. Some of you young people, when you see this young men, and it is young men who have got problem. It's not ladies. And they say to you, can we do this just once? Can you do this just once? Please, just once. Looking at you, kasononyana. And then you say, your no is like, no, we can't do that. No. Say no. Say no. Hey. Hey. Don't say no, but you know, say no. Don't do funny things. Just say no. End of the story. Non-negotiations. Every time you say, but it keeps coming because I can still push a little bit here. Am I talking to somebody here? Do you have some young ladies in the church right now? Your amen is not strong. Hallelujah. Your no must be a no. CB must know that you are not a customer. When you say no to the devil, if I try tomorrow, I might succeed. But your no must be decisive. Do you want to know God? Those who approach him must be able to offer these living sacrifices. They must be able to enter their courts and say no. Then they are ready to proceed to the holy place. Hallelujah. then they are ready to proceed to where? To the head, to the, you are getting closer. If you are still in sin, oh, unto jikeleza somewhere else. Mudimu yana uhule. Amen. Don't worry, I'm about to finish, right? You know, the Bible says that if we continue in sin, it's like crucifying Jesus again. Do you know that? Do you know that? You know what you are saying? You are saying that crucifixion was not enough, you know? When I'm too cocotta, like picker, it's a how. You know, when you think of these things, next time you sin, you think twice, isn't it? Hello? That sacrifice is enough for me to overcome things like sin. It's enough. It's sufficient. All I must say is, no, no, no. Look at your neighbor. Say neighbor. Be some a person of no's. No to sin and yes to righteousness. Hallelujah. Where are we going? We are going to God's presence. I'm just showing you the way. And things that block us. It's simple. You know yourself. If you're struggling around sin, say, neighbor, what do you want him to say now? You know where you are. You know where you are. You make a decision today. Amen? Hallelujah. I've not heard God speaking to me in a long time. Okay, where are you? Where are you? Usutile. Because he ena hasuti, we are tsepahala. He doesn't move from the very place you left him. Oh, yes, he doesn't move. He doesn't move. God can be known by us all, any one of us. Look at us, say, neighbor, you can be a friend of God. You can talk to him. Nicely. Can have a conversation with him. First stop is outer court. Get rid of this sinful life. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some places some of us go to, if one of your fellow Christians sees you in that place, it's like you could hide. Or you look the other way so they may not see you. That tells you that those places are not right. You should not even be there. Hallelujah. You should not even be there at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember I went to this place, you know, and I was with one pastor. And this is the place that I used to go and have lunch and all other things, and they knew me. They knew me that I'm just, but I'd never told them who I was. You understand what I mean? So this day I walk in there with this you know, a pastor friend, and then he began to introduce me. This is the man of God. And I'm saying to myself, had I been doing funny things here? every time I hear, you know, ke odara biri, because I was eating there. You know what I mean? And the people say, huh? Or had I walked there with Amakwapeni one day? And now today I'm walking in with a man of God. He says, he's calling everyone, the waitress, everyone. You know this is a man of God? I said, my God. Had I come here with some suspicious looking person, where would I be today? Say neighbor, small world. Hallelujah. Small world, small world. Amen. Hallelujah. Say no to carnal life. Amen. Amen. To love Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The next stop, once you pass there, the next place is the holy place. Say the holy place. Now, those of you who understand these divisions, they refer to the flesh or the body as the outer court. And then the inner court or the holy place is referred to as the soul. You know that, eh? Which is the seat of what? The will, emotions. Hallelujah. And then you have the most holy place, which is represents the spirit. Just a quick thing. Now, watch this. Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's where he prayed. Your will and not my will. Hallelujah. But listen, that prayer culminated when he gave up. I like it, the Bible says he gave up what? Ghost. He gave up. You remember that? Ola niela moya. Is that what it says? At that moment, that's when the veil tore. A holy place is the death place of self-will. You can never proceed in the presence of God as long as you are still yourself. Are you hearing me? You have to be dead to many things. Many things before you can experience his presence. Well, we are told that no one sees God and lives. Although it might be referring to physical, that you literally die. And there are people who claim they've seen God and they are still alive. Many. But here's the thing. What I also understand is that you can never be full of your self-will in his presence. In his presence, it must just be him and nothing else. You know, the priests, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they were tying their leg, I understand, with a rope. Because they don't know afitakamo how he will be found. Will he qualify to stand in his presence, or is he gonna die? To be in the presence of God, you have to. Nothing should matter anymore except to see the will of God come to pass in life. In fact, that's what qualifies you for his presence. His will. Hallelujah. Those that know God are those that are able to give up everything. If you are still full of, driven by your own desire, forget about knowing and experiencing God. Because here's the thing, when God gives you everything of Him, He's entrusting His very best to you so you can be a blessing to others. Not just for yourself. Am I talking to somebody here? Not just for yourself. Why we have not really seen God? What stands in our way is our strong. We are strong-willed people. We are strong-willed people. Say neighbor, we are strong-willed people. We still want to see certain things the way we want to see them. We still ourselves, our will is still dominant. We are still forceful. Never, you will not see Him. I want things to be done this way. I want this. I want this. I don't. You are still full of eyes. Forget it. I'm a strong-willed person, you know. That might be working against you. When it comes to God, we all say, your will and not my will. Then you begin to be trusted with the treasures of heaven. The very presence of God. That's when you begin to know God. And you know, it's knowing God, Bazalan, is priceless. There's just nothing compared to it. You know, when God reveals Himself to you, wow. And by revelation, I don't mean God sitting in front of you, and then you see, okay, He looks like this, His face is like this. That's not what I'm talking about. You can experience God without seeing His figure. Hallelujah. You can really be consumed by His presence. He does not want to come to you for the sake of it. He wants you to be consumed by His presence. Could yourself fly away? When you come out of that place, just as it was with Christ, it was no longer His will, but the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Why is it important that you should know God? Why is it so important? We are surrounded by deception. A lot of deception. Amen? A lot of deception. You know, there are many people who say, God has spoken to me when their feelings spoke to them. And there are many. Hello? There are many people. Let me use this example because it's simple and it's nice to use. Nice. It's easy and everybody can identify with it. Hallelujah. Are you still here? When we go to a lady and you say, you know, God has spoken to me about you and I love you and I want you to marry me. And I have a confirmation from God. You have a confirmation from your flesh. You got to understand that confirmation you got there is from flesh. Because you don't know how God speaks. You don't know Him. Can I preach? Many people, the flesh is talking. Who is talking? You just want a car, and you say, God said you must go buy a car. No, God said, God, I have a confirmation that I must buy a car. You want a car. That's all. Keep my father out of your business because it's you. You just want this thing you wanted. God has spoken to me about going into ministry. Orata burut. You just love being a bastard, that's all. You just love it. Look at it, you just love it. You like this thing standing in front of people. You like it. Now you say God has spoken to you. Let me tell you this. Why is this important? Are you listening to me? You can never hear God when the flesh is still loudest. You must quieten the flesh. You see, when you're still driven by the things you like, your flesh is too loud. You can never hear God. Why should you give up your will and surrender your will? Oh, yes, so that when your desires speak, you will know it's my desires. If you don't do that, if you don't quieten your desires, you're going to name your desires your God speaking. God is found in a place where desires are quiet. Self-will is quiet. The flesh is quiet. Then that still small voice can be heard. I'm done preaching. God bless you. Do we know where God is now? When we go through difficult times, we won't struggle because we know Him. When we go through hard times, we won't struggle because we know Him. We won't give up along the way because we know His character. We know His nature. It's our Father. It's not a hearsay. It's not the God that the pastors talk about. It's my God. It's not the one they told me about. It's the one I know. That's the place I'm calling you to. There's a time in life when nothing else will sustain you, except the knowledge of Him who called you. God bless you all. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Are you blessed, Bazalwani? Are we blessed? Is the percentage going to increase from 20%? Do I have a promise and a commitment that next time I see you, it might be sitting at what? The other way around. 80 knowing God and 20 not knowing God. Amen. Clap hands for yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, this God is faithful, isn't it? Amen. Amen. So we are going to make this altar call. Listen. If you are not born again, you are not even in the camp. You are still in Egypt. You are now sitting in Rebeta. You are not even with the children of Israel. You need to join the camp. This is not for you. You need Jesus. And you need to make this decision quickly because He is coming soon. You need to give your life to Jesus. If you are here or you're online or anywhere, wherever you're watching us, I want you to take a bold step and stand up and say, I want to start this journey. Don't be afraid. Just stand up where you are and say, I want to start this journey of discovering and knowing God. It starts with this, giving your life to Jesus. Stand up where you are now. Just stand up where you are. If you're at home, just stand up also and say, I want to start this journey. As I said, challenging times are still coming. They are still coming. But one of the questions that it will be asking, do you know God? Wa motseba modimo. Are you there saying, I want Jesus? Let's pray with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your voice calling me. And today, when I hear the voice, is the day of decision. I make that decision now. I accept you, Lord. I want to make you my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Change my life. I commit my life to you. I commit all. I cut off my old life of sinfulness. Pleasure, self-gratification, I cut all that life. Self-indulgence, I cut out that life. I want a new life. I know I've been without peace for a long time. I know you will give me peace. I thank you, Jesus, for saving my life today. I believe you came in the flesh. I believe you died. I believe you are alive. Indeed, you have become the high priest. You have become the intercessor. You have become the mediator between man and God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.